Hello and welcome to our 84th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's show, we will talk about Gutenberg 15.9 and 6.0 releases, new posts from the developer blog, the roadmap for 6.3, and a little bit of WordCamp Europe. I'm your host, Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate, and a full-time core contributor to the WordPress open source project. And I have the wonderful pleasure to have Isabel Bryson with me on the show. And Isabel has been a designer, developer on the blog editor for almost 4 years, I think, and is the editor tech co-lead for WordPress 6.3, and therefore knows quite a bit about the features coming to WordPress 6.3. Isabel, thank you so much for making the time today and be on the show.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
We are both on the 6.3 release squad. So you are the tech co-lead for the editor together with Ramondot. I'm on the team of editor triage with Nick Diego, Anne McCarthy, and Firoz Sabalia. Both of us, Firoz and I, are first timers on this release squad, team for editor triage. So that's going to be interesting. And we are less than 2 weeks before beta one. What's happening in a release cycle before beta one and what after?
So right now, from an editor tech lead perspective, what happens before beta one is we need to make sure that all the latest changes from Gutenberg plugin, so more than from the plugin itself, from the Gutenberg repo where all the cutting edge stuff is being worked on, all those changes have to be transported into the core repo, which is a different repository. So part of that process is automated. I mean, I say all the changes, but in reality, it's all the changes that are stable enough to make it into core, because in Gutenberg, there's a lot of experimental stuff that is not necessarily ready for core yet. And so part of the process is that the editor tech lead has to make sure, in this case, the leads, because there are two of us, we have to make sure that the right changes are being put into core, that everything is working well. Part of that process is, you can say automated, because essentially in Gutenberg, you have a lot of JavaScript, which is published as NPM packages and core consumes those packages. So that part of the process is you update the packages, you publish the packages, the latest versions, and then we update the packages in the core repo to get those latest versions. However, there's also a fair amount of PHP in Gutenberg, and that part needs to be transported across to the other repo manually. And so that's where we have to go through all the changes that require adding PHP to core and do pull requests for each change set and review them and commit them individually. So depending on how many changes, and we're talking that Gutenberg has been growing a fair bit. We have a lot of contributors now. And so there's a lot of changes in each release. And so this process can become a bit overwhelming if there's a lot of stuff. And now we're sort of counting down to beta and going, we need to get all the backports in time before beta, and in time preferably to sort of be able to test them a bit in core and check that everything's okay before beta's cut. So yeah, that's the part of the process that we're at now.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of shifting around and talking to contributors and testing as well, maybe beforehand. Is there also a process to audit some of the experimental APIs that are there, if they can be made stable? Or
yes,
because that was one of the contentions, that sometimes experimental stuff gets into core. And
So that's also something that occurs before each release. There'll be an audit in Gutenberg of all the experimental APIs. So this is interesting. This situation of the experimental APIs has evolved a bit over time. So previously, up until, I want to say maybe a year ago, but I have a very, very sort of hazy sense of time, so it might be more or less, there were a lot of experimental APIs that would be merged into core because they were part of a Gutenberg feature that was considered stable enough. The feature itself was considered stable enough to move into core, although the API had not been marked stable. And so there are, in practice, there's a fair few experimental APIs that are public, and because they have made it into core at some point in the past, we now have to support them indefinitely because there are extenders out there using them in the real world. So we can't scrap them, we can't make changes to them. And so essentially they are stable. But there's a lot of them. And there's some progress, slow progress in marking things stable for each release, but sometimes we have to go through a lot of APIs. And so every time before the release, I feel like this work should be done maybe a bit more in advance, as opposed to being sort of a month earlier or 3 weeks before beta, because by that time, everyone's just super busy with, oh, we need to get this feature finished, and we need to make sure this is working, we need to fix all these bugs to make sure that this feature's stable enough to make it into core. And at that point in time, no one is concerned about whether the APIs are marked experimental or not. So the good improvement that we had a while ago was that a new system was introduced into Gutenberg that allows us to export experimental APIs as private. And so that means from a package, there's a bunch of private APIs and they can be used in another package, but they are not made available to the general public. And that makes it safer to have these APIs be experimental for a while longer and not certain be able to make changes to them without having to provide the indefinite back compatibility for something that we at some point realized was not the right API.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so this is all a work in progress. So what I noticed, I did that audit recently, and what I noticed is that there are not that many. Now that we have this mechanism that allows us to mark APIs private, we're not actually putting any new experimental APIs into core. The ones that are already there, though, that's another matter. We progressively stabilize, but it is definitely a work in progress.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think for the show notes, there was a process, and that was proposed at the Make blog a while ago. You're right. I think it was almost a year ago. And I have the feeling that about 3 or 4 months ago, Adam Selinsky, who was kind of one of the drivers of this new feature or new method on how to handle experimental APIs now, he has published a progress report on how that's working now. So for the listeners who are interested in getting really into the nitty-gritty of it, that is definitely a two posts for you to read. So now, just for the people that don't know you, you have been a guest on Gutenberg Times live Q&A in January, and you were talking about layouts. How is the work progressing, and how was your talk at WordCamp Asia? So I'm kind of just getting some of our listeners caught up with you and what happened.
Yeah, that seems like an eternity ago.
WordCamp Asia,
back in February. Yeah, it was. And so what happened is, well, layout is progressing slowly. So there are a few small enhancements that are going to be going into core for 6.3. One of the things that I actually just merged this PR earlier, which is to stabilize the layout support. So the layout was one of those experimental APIs that have been in core for a while. And because they have been there for a while and they're actually being used in production by a few plugins, they are, I mean, de facto stable, because we do have to provide back compatibility for them. So it kind of becomes absurd at that point to still have the API marked experimental. So layout has just been stabilized. I guess that's the big news. It doesn't mean anything in terms of features. It's mm-hmm. literally, it's just the tag. The experimental tag is no longer there. I hope that going forward, this is going to give folks more confidence that they can use layout in third-party extensions, and mm-hmm. and it works. It would have worked anyway, because
we
did have to provide those assurances already. But yeah, it's good to have it officially stable.
Yes, congratulations, so to speak. So
you
were also talking about, well, or working on the grid layouts. I have seen they're still in experiments. Well, now that you're part of the release cycle there, until the release, you probably are not going to be able to work on that. So do you think that's going to get into 6.4, or that it's progressing?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So grid layout. Okay, so what happens is a new layout has been created. It's available. So through the layout API that is no longer experimental, anyone can now use a layout, add layout support to a block. So you're building a custom block. You can add layout support to it, and you can make that layout be of type grid. So that is already available in the plugin. And what is marked experimental and will not be shipped in 6.3 is the group grid variation. So the group block has a few different layout variations. And there is, behind an experimental flag in the plugin, there is a grid variation for the group block. However, that hasn't been marked stable yet because what we have currently, the grid layout, is a very basic version. It's a very basic type of layout. There are a lot of features to grid. There are a lot of very interesting and good thoughts out there about how we can build on it and create awesome tools so people can build really cool grid layouts. However, we only really have that basic structure that gives you a grid layout without any real possibility of configuring for the child blocks, say if you want them to occupy one space in the grid or two or three, which is what really gives grid all of its flexibility, is that ability to sort of manipulate and decide where the children are going to sit. So for now, that group grid variation is not going to ship, but grid is actually going to ship in the post template block as a layout variation for post template. So we previously had in the query block, the controls are actually in the query block. So you could choose between a list or a grid layout type of query. But what those controls were doing were actually setting a kind of custom layout in the post template block. And because it was a custom implementation, there was no possibility to add a block spacing control to it. And because people really need to have the ability to change block spacing in post template, we did a refactor, and now post template is using actual layout support, so block spacing can be set on it. And so behind the scenes, it still has the kind of custom toolbar control where you can choose between a list or a grid type layout. So the exposure of actual sort of grid layout controls is kind of limited, but it is using grids. So technically, yes, there is one block that is shipping with grid layout in 6.3.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that was the catch up with Isabel Bryson on the layouts. So thank you so much. So let's go a little bit further into our show here today. We have another announcements. Since the last Gutenberg changelog, there were five new posts on the developer blog. And one that was just published this week, that's What's New for Developers by Justin Tadlock. And that's the fifth installment of the monthly roundup showcasing features that are specific for theme and plugin developers. And it focused a little bit on the 6.3 development cycle. It's more like you can test it now, so your plugin and your theme will be compatible when 6.3 comes out, or just make sure that it doesn't break kind of a list, but it has a lot more other things in there. Ryan Welcher published a tutorial on how to use the block inspector sidebar groups that came in with 6.2. And now you have more, as a developer, you have more control over the custom controls that should be appearing in the inspector controls, or what's showing in the sidebar, just to place that in the canvas where you see all those custom controls. So if you want to, as a plugin developer, add additional controls to, say, the dimensions, you can group the interface for that to show up in the style tab in the dimension block. So, and he has some nice code examples in there. Justin Tadlock also published customizing core block style variations in theme JSON, and it's a walkthrough through the block styles directly in theme JSON, how you can, instead of using them in a custom style sheet, you can centralize all the things a little bit more in theme JSON. The curating the editor experience with client-side filters post by Nick Diego shows off also the new filters that were introduced in 6.2 and how you can change the editor experience with new client-side JavaScript filters, and has some great examples there for your development, your block development. Yes. And then lastly, the first one is use the entity records hook as an easier way to fetch WordPress data by Michael Burridge. And it's part out of the WordPress data package and core data packages. And the hook has been extremely useful to fetching and working with data in your block development. And this tutorial shows you how it's easier to use entity records instead of the get entity records from the data package. This only is for developers, of course. It's the developer new blog. So it won't help anybody who is a no coder, but you know that you can curate the editor experience, or your developer can curate the editor experience, is definitely something that you can, as a project manager, definitely learn more about it.
Good stuff. There's a lot of features here.
We're all catching up on quite a few things to make it easier to do block development and theme development, and also augment the dev notes that certainly talked about the new groups for the inspector controls or through the client-side filters, but not as deeply enough, or kind of sometimes it's really hard to get the exact use case, or if you don't have examples for various use cases, to kind of get it into your idea and how to use it in your project. So that brings us to what's released, and we're tackling first the Gutenberg 15.9 release. That's from May 31st, about 2 weeks ago. And it included 171 PRs merged into this release from 58 contributors. Seven of them were first timers. And Carlos Bravo was the release lead and author of the release post. So let's dive in. There are enhancements that you can now have block variations, transformations in the block switcher. So what does that mean? It means that when you have the inserter and you want to do a transform, you get also offered the block variations from it, if I understood this correctly.
With the block switcher is in the block toolbar, correct? It's in the block toolbar when you click on the block icon. Mm-hmm. You get a list of the possible transforms. So apart from other blocks that you can transform the block to, you would get variations of the same block also as possible transformations, which I feel existed at some point in the past and then was removed and that has been re-added. I'm not sure. I might be wrong on this. Yeah. I just have a vague feeling that this is familiar.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar. I don't know if it actually includes the styles as well, because the styles are on the right-hand side, yeah, and you have to now, but it does not, it doesn't. So it's the block variations, because the blocks variation have other names, but they were actually organized in the transformations, like further down, and with the prioritization, you probably can get them higher up in the block switcher. So this is definitely something I would support, even if it went back and come back. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it easy. And you get style variations too for blocks that have style variations. This is actually pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't have to open up the sideboard to just get the style variations in there. Yes. All right. Next thing up would be that the code block has now wide align support. And that is really good, because sometimes the line in a code block is kind of creating horizontal navigation bars, horizontal scroll bars. And now with the wide support, you can make it a little wider and have that one line kind of remove the horizontal scroll bar, which is a better reading experience.
Yeah, that's a good aesthetic improvement too. It can be nice to have wide code windows so you can read the whole thing in one go without having to scroll.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take the next one?
What's the next one? I wanted to mention that, so in 5.9, a PR was merged that removed the post content block from the list of blocks that can be inserted in the post editor. And that makes sense, because the post editor is basically what we get inside the post content block. So if you try to add a post content block to the post editor, it was getting an error, which, you know, was a really bad user experience. And so the block was rightfully removed. But in the meantime, someone noticed that there was a possible use case for the post content in the post editor, because we can add query blocks in the post editor. So you could have inside your post, you could have a little query with some categories or something like that, say. And there is a legitimate use case for having the post content block sit inside the query, and so inside the post template that you have inside the query. Because if you have short posts, if you have sort of a custom post type that's fairly short, you might want to actually show the whole post in there. And so a PR was quickly done to fix this and allow for that use case. So as of, well, I don't think it went into, it didn't, no, I'm it for did. Sure it didn't go into 16.0. It is going it to go out into, it did. I'm pretty sure that it was only merged like yesterday.
So, okay. Yeah. And it didn't, no. it wasn't backported. No. So it will come back for 16.1. Yeah.
So in 16.1, we will be able to use post content inside queries inside the post editor, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. One other use case is when you want to have, yeah, from a different custom post types, you want to show some of the posts in there and in your blog post. And there are many use cases I can think of it when you wanted to query something else and need the post content in there. So the next one is the Wayfinder or Command Center. I think there's still a discussion going on the naming of the feature. Wayfinder was also not the one that was, it feels right for me, but I'm kind of English Westernist, but in the Eastern Hemisphere, it was a little bit differently seen. And for translated, it was really hard to find a good way. So the discussion goes on, but in the meantime, the commands API has, Mark, been public, so you can use it and test it for your plugin or your WordPress install. And Riad Benguela's post, Command Center Request for Feedback, also contains some code examples on how to use the API and create, you can create static commands, dynamic commands, or contextual commands. And so you can try it out and see how, what it all does for you. It's like a search bar that you don't have to go through the, you click Control K, and then a search bar comes up on the interface, and then you can type in some search commands, and it gives you a list of items that you can do, like add page or add post or something like that. Yeah. Have you played with it?
It's really cool. It kind of reminds me of the Spotlight on the Mac. I don't know if Spotlight is the best name for it, but I'm kind of in my head, I'm calling it Spotlight, because it's basically, it just sort of pops up this bar in the middle, and you can search for stuff and you can do stuff from it. It is great. I wanted to add that also, I think possibly also in 5.9, there was a PR that added the ability to invoke the command center by clicking on the template name at the top of the site editor.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's sort of just sort of another super practical shortcut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 15.9. Yeah. Yeah. So what else is in there? There is, the interactivity API is still in experiments. And you wanted to, do you want to talk about the Lightbox and the directives? Oh,
yeah, I thought I'd mention it because it's super exciting. It's still a very, very experimental. At this stage, it is unlikely to make it into 6.3, which, I mean, on one hand, I'm slightly sad because Lightboxes for images are really cool. On the other hand, it is still behind an experimental flag in the plugin. It hasn't actually seen a lot of real-world testing. So it's also good to get some testing done before actually merging the feature into core. It's very new. It's very promising. So the whole interactivity API is a really interesting piece. It's been worked on for ages. And it seems like ages. I don't know. It can't be that long, but it feels like I'm so excited about it because it provides a really neat way of adding interactive behaviors. It's usually only achievable with JavaScript to plain blocks. And so it's going to add a bunch of behaviors out of the box for core blocks, but it's also going to be possible to use that API in the future to create custom behaviors for custom blocks. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really nice way of sort of standardizing a way of adding JavaScript to blocks to create dynamic behaviors. Mm-hmm. And the first experiment, or one of the first experiments to be sort of put out there in the plugin, is the possibility to add a lightbox to images. So you, if you enable it, you can click on the image in the front end and then the image just sort of pops up in sort of full screen kind of thing, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, and I know that Louis Herons did a workshop at WordCamp Europe last week. There was quite some buzz around the interactivity API. I know that there, because it mostly is also in the PHP render file where you can just add the directives or add the call for the directives. So it kind of gets a lot of PHP developers also excited about block development and adding the interactivity to them. And the excitement is also around being able, which is not going to be in the first version, even if it makes it into 6.4, that you can actually create your own directives. Yeah, mm-hmm. So the core will come out with, I don't know, 15 or 20 directives that have a lot of use cases, cover probably 80% what a developer would need. And the combination of it, of the be it data binding, be it button actions, being interactivity. So yeah, this is a really exciting feature to come to block development. And I think it's one of the missing links to get other people excited about building with blocks and JavaScript and get the first render with PHP and then have the client side changes through the API. It's really cool.
Yeah. Sure. My cat just popped in. Sorry.
The cats. So the next thing is that the text formatting tools in a paragraph have now two new attributes added. That's the long language and also L-A-N-G and the D-I-R, the dear attributes, which helps with multilingual posts. So you can add a language like French and Italy to a Italian IT to a paragraph and then a signal to the assistant technologies and the reader, okay, this is a different language. And the dear part is that you change left to right, right to left rendering of that. And the code almost verbatim is used from Jean-Baptiste Audras, who had a plugin that added those two formatting tools to the paragraph. And the subsequent PR also now uses the bi-directional text override element from Mozilla. But it's good to have these additional formatting tools in there to cater to the multilingual content that you find all over Europe. So this is really cool. Yeah.
This is not only is this really cool, but I am fairly certain that this is a long-standing issue from the accessibility audit way back when. Mm-hmm. That the last time I checked was still open. So it might be a good idea to go over there and see if that issue can now be closed.
Yeah, but now it can be closed. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a missing piece. And that was also the reason why Jean-Baptiste added that to his company's, or that his company built the plugin to help their clients with that kind of formatting. So there is a new API to allow prioritization of inserter items. If you have a block list setting, you now can allow the parent blocks define the priority for the blocks that are allowed in it and how the inserter displays them for the inner blocks of that parent block. So that is definitely another customization and curation tool for the extenders with their block development.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that will be great to provide sort of more custom user experiences mm-hmm. for certain block types, definitely.
Yeah, I think we need to kind of somewhere create a list of all the extension possibilities because if it's I don't think there is an overall list of all the possibilities on how to extend now. Sometimes there's still missing documentation there, of course. I found that some of the extensibilities like the inspector controls, the documentation is in the README for the source code component, but doesn't bubble up into the developer handbook of the editor. So I know that Nick Diego and Ryan are working on that together with Michael to kind of figure out this architecture of missing stuff. The next thing is, it sounds really benign, calling that the renaming template parts to library. But there's, so in the side editor on the left-hand side, there was a menu item called template parts. And that will be renamed into library because it will also house reusable blocks and patterns, reusable patterns, or sync patterns, I think they're called. The template parts, of course, will be also underneath it. I don't know how far the syncing of pattern or reusable block is going, because there's a lot of confusion since the beginning. Yeah, what is a pattern, what is a reusable block, and what is a template part? And they all have different, they sound to be the same, but they all have one thing different of them. And there is an effort to kind of unify it a little bit and just manage what's different instead of have three different items for them. Yeah.
I think that would be great, because reusable blocks are essentially patterns, or they were already working as patterns, although they have the block itself. When you create a reusable block, it's sort of frozen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you make changes to it, you're making changes to all reusable blocks, to the content, whereas patterns, you drop a pattern in somewhere and you make changes to it, and it, you can continue using that pattern elsewhere. And so,
but yet there's this big problem that when you have a pattern and you change the design of the pattern, you cannot go back and have that change as well on all the time, all the uses that you had, because there is no record of a post using a pattern, because once it's in the canvas, it just is the blocks that
block.
are inside the pattern.
Yeah, so that's the, I think the fundamental piece here is being able to have patterns where the design can be changed globally, even if the content of the pattern is sort of individual to each instance. And yeah, it's a pretty complex piece of work. It's being actively worked on. There is, I think, an effort to consolidate reusable blocks and patterns. So I think the idea is going to be that reusable blocks are kind of being going to be absorbed and become patterns of a type, but it's still a fairly early stages considering the complexity of the endeavor. So at this point, it's not certain what, if anything, of that work will actually make it into 6.3.
Yeah, I can see that. And because the reusable block have actually also an interface to edit them, which the patterns do not. Yeah. And that's also something, how can you make those editing interfaces be used for both of them? Yeah, there are a lot of different things that need to be aligned differently so to make it all work. And I think it's a fairly complex thing, yes. You're right.
Yeah.
So the next part for 15.9 is that the global styles get revisions. And that has been on the feedback list and on the wish list of a lot of people who have participated in the full site editing outreach program and have been very faithful in doing all the testing, the calls for testing, and having a revision. Because you know that when you change colors and font settings and things, you don't know what you get until you see what you get. You don't know what you want until what you see, what you get. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, maybe I liked that previously better, but then you don't know the remember the combination of what it was. And now you have revisions and you can see them side by side. So this is a very exciting new feature that will come in, and it seems to be making to 6.3. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That one has been merged and it's definitely going to make it into 6.3.
Yeah, there will be there might be UI changes, but it will show up in the styles right hand side in the sidebar under revisions, and then you get a list of all the revisions, and in the canvas, and you can see them all together. Yeah.
So you can access it from the left hand, the dark sidebar on the left hand side. If you go to the styles and you see if the theme has style variations, they'll appear there. But also in the right-hand side global style sidebar, you can also access the revisions under styles actions. There's a little button at the top.
Excellent, yes. Under the experiments of 15.9, there's list items called the behaviors UI, and that's part of the interactivity UI API, I believe.
Yes.
And that is kind of a standardized way to attach behavior to an element or something like that. That, as I said, it's in the experiments, and I think it's part of the lightbox behavior. That's the only behavior that's available right now. But what else can you think about what this could do?
Yes, I believe so. So the say that you can define certain types of interactivity for certain blocks, as, for example, the image can have a lightbox, but we don't want all images on the site to suddenly have lightboxes. And so the behaviors UI is something that is, it provides, I guess, website authors, users, with a way of enabling those interactive behaviors or disabling them for any given block. So it's an important piece because you know that certain behaviors might not be sort of applicable to all blocks on the site, and you need to have a way of turning them on and off.
Yeah, and so that's also part of the will be part of the advanced interface on a block based level in the sidebar. Yeah.
Yeah, currently it sits under advanced in the block sidebar.
All right. So, well, this concludes our changelog for 15.9. And we can now, this week, 16.0 was released. And it was Nick Diego was the release lead, and he wrote also the post. And it had 164 pull requests by 54 contributors. So it's always a good size of contributors adding code to things. And there were four first timers as well. So, and this comes with one feature we are all excited about, but do you want to take us into it, Isabel?
Yeah. So the feature that we're all excited about, there's actually a couple of features that we're all excited about. One of them is the ability to add new pages from the site editor directly. Now, a disclaimer, the ability is to add draft pages, not to publish them directly. But that's great because, you know, the first thing that you do when you add a page is work on it as a draft, and then only afterwards you publish it. So it's good. It's sort of the start of, I guess, being able to do everything, having the site editor as the center from which you can do anything to your site, including create pages, edit them, possibly at some point in the future, publish them. So that's a pretty great new feature to have. It can be accessed from the left-hand sidebar.
Yeah, the new page also helps with when you create new navigation menu where you want to access point to a page that doesn't exist yet. So this certainly helps as well. But for that, and I saw some discussion around it, for that to work well and it show up in the list of searches, that the page is actually published. So yeah, it's the question, what is a good way to move forward? But what I'm really excited about is that I can now edit a page in its context, and I see how it works in context of the template. So I see the header, I see the footer, I see if there is a sidebar, and how my content behaves that I create for the page. It allows me, and I know there were, from the feedback of the full site editing program, there were quite some feedback that there is a confusion between, am I adding the page or am I adding the template? And some people edited the template thinking it was a page, and then found that edited piece or that added piece on every single page because they inadvertently changed the template. So the possibility was taken out of the site editor, but it's coming back now with some guardrails. So you know, when you edit a template, all of a sudden the title changes to page title, yeah, instead of saying about us. And it also highlights that you are editing now a template part instead of the page itself. So I think we are getting really closer to have more a unified system of editing and not having to switch out from the site editor to the post editor and back in the admin, where you kind of have multiple back steps to get to the old page editing screens. So I'm really excited about to get this all in one interface.
Yeah. So that's the second feature. What I was saying when I said there were two features, new pages, but also the ability to be able to tell at a glance if what we're editing is the page's actual content or the page's template. So now it's only possible to either edit one or the other, but not both simultaneously. I think that's a pretty good one to have in there because otherwise it would be extremely confusing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then there were a few, I don't want to say small changes because it definitely takes an effort to get it in, but the list view got two additional, I would say, quality of life changes. Now you can the dragging, so you can now drag outside the immediate area and get into a different drop zone element there. And then it's now easier to position a block on top or on the bottom of the list. Before you had to, it was really hard to get on the bottom of a list with a when you drag and dropped it. And then the other one is that sometimes in the list view, you have your container blocks collapsed. And when you dragged a new block into that container, it always put it on the top. Now it makes more sense to put it on the bottom because it's kind of I added to it, and it so when you open up the collapse block again, you have all the new containers or blocks that you dragged into it on the bottom of the group block, for instance. So I really like those features that make it much easier to be a little bit more predictable in what you're doing and behave like that as you would think it would. Yeah. Intuition is a interesting thing. Yeah. Sometimes you get it right, but sometimes you get it wrong. And 50-50 is a pretty good ratio for that.
Yeah, true. And it often takes a few iterations to figure out what the best behavior is and what's sort of most intuitive, because it's not always obvious when you're conceptualizing something, you're thinking, oh, let's build this new feature. It's going to work like this. But then in practice, it's like, oh, actually, that doesn't work well at all.
So what else is in there? So I stopped at the details block. The experimental flag for the details block was removed and the block itself was stabilized. Now you have the two elements, the summary and the details. You can certainly style them accordingly, and now you can also add them to your canvas, and it works out of the box. So this is more, it's a block, and we talked about it before on the, I think in last episode as well as the one before, because it was experimental and we were kind of going back and forth on it. It's the block where you can use it as a spoiler alert. Yeah, you can hide the details of your movie review that would spoil going for those who haven't seen the movie, spoil the movie ending or that part, or if it's just minutiae detail that only two or three readers would need, you can hide them in the details block, and then you get an arrow to expand it into the details from the summary.
That's a pretty cool block.
And it was a long in the week in the making. It will make it into 6.3. I think there are two other blocks that are all on the verge of in core. But I don't think they're going to make it. The one is the table of contents block, and the other one is the footnotes block or
Oh,
blocks.
that's sad. Those are really useful blocks.
It doesn't seem there wasn't any movement on the table of contents block for about a month, so I'm not sure that anybody takes it on because there are two things that still need to be done there. And the footnotes block, I think Ella is working on that, and she is kind of having two different variations where that needs to be a decision which one will be pursued or not. And with 2 weeks to go, it might be a little bit tight.
Yeah, and it's not 2 weeks, it's closer to 1 week actually,
Yeah,
because for the packages, so for all the JavaScript pieces, what happens is we're going to grab the release candidate for the next Gutenberg plugin release, which is going to be 16.1, and publish the packages from the release candidates with any bug fixes that are necessary after RC is cut. And those updated packages are what's going to make it into core before beta 1. And because the RC is going to be created
Next
towards
week,
the end of next week, it would usually be on a Wednesday. It is likely at this point that it's going to be Thursday or Friday. Given that both editor tech leads for this release are in Australia, we can conceivably do it on our Friday morning, and that gives a little bit of extra time before it's still sort of Thursday night everywhere else in the world. So that is, at this point, that is likely to be the plan. And so what's going to make it into beta one is anything that can be merged until that date.
All right.
Which is essentially 1 week away.
Yeah, it's 1 week away. Yeah, we're recording this on June 15th. So, and beta one is the 27th, but the next release candidate, that's going to be the 23 or 24th. Yeah. Yeah. So continuing with 16.0, thank you for this explanation on how tight it actually is with the time frame.
No worries. We're glad to throw everyone into a panic.
High alert. Yeah. So the query pagination block got another feature is that you can hide the label text for the next and previous. You can have, you have three choices. You can have an error, you can have carrots, or you can have text. And now you can have both, but you can hide the text for it and just have the errors. So that's a feature that kind of is on par with the query pagination from classic themes, which is really cool. And I highlighted one other thing. It's called, and it's only really relevant for developers that want to get into how to use the HTML tag processor. Jeff Ong refactored the search block to actually use the HTML tag processor. And I think it would be it's a good case study on how this actually makes it easier or more readable to use the HTML tag processor instead of regex in PHP. So I think that's it's the PR 51273. If you are just wanna get up and listening to this, get up and look at it. Of course, it's in the changelog of 16.0. Have you worked with the HTML tag processor?
Yeah, I used it a while ago to do some layout related stuff. So it's in, I think I actually was the first person to use that API. In Gutenberg, it was still in Gutenberg, hadn't been merged into core yet, and it was just sort of being worked on by a few folks, and I was doing a layout related task where I had to, it was trying to add the layout, the class. So in a block, when you have layout support, you get class names that will say what kind of layout it is, and then you can sort of hook styles to them and stuff. And most blocks just have one wrapper. Blocks that have inner blocks have like wrapper, inner blocks. But there are some blocks that have a bit more of a complex markup structure. And so the idea was that the layout classes should be added to the inner wrapper so that they can have an effect over the inner blocks of the block. And that was a piece where I found using the HTML tag processor was super handy because I had to locate the inner wrapper of a given block. So yeah, that was a great API. It is really, really helpful for that kind of work with PHP when you have to go digging around for some HTML and you don't want to use regex.
Yeah. I think it also, it's not tied to WordPress. You actually can use it in any PHP code. So kind of reaching out to the bigger universe outside of WordPress is definitely an enhancement of the language as well. So another line item from the changelog is that the post template now has block spacing and layout.
Yes. Yeah. I did that one, actually.
It Congratulations.
It went through a few iterations. It was one of those PRs that end up taking a month and have 80 comments on them. Well, maybe not 80 comments, but there was a fair amount of reviews and re-reviews. And should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? Yeah. Backwards compatibility was a concern because the block's in production. There are lots of websites using it, so you can't break stuff for real world users. Yeah, but it's done. And pretty happy with it. We talked about it a bit earlier. I don't think it's probably necessary to go through what it does again. But yeah,
no,
there's a lot of folks who are going to be happy with this.
Yeah, one. And I think that also shows, it's kind of one answer that I had conversations with people at WordCamp Europe. And there is one question I also get that at WordCamp Asia, and it's really hard to answer it because the question is, so when are designs decision made? And who makes them? And it's really hard to explain that iterative process of developing these new features that haven't been in WordPress before. Yeah. So there is an initial design that comes from the design team, but then all subsequent is iteration on how the flow is going to be. And as you said, there are 80 comments there, so that it's definitely a community approached it, or at least a subset of developers trying to figure that out in a team. And testing comes about, and then there's going back to the drawing board and then start again. So there is not really that one decision maker and that one design that is kind of zeroed in on. It's more really what the idea was, and then we do the implementation, and then it's kind of how it works with in context with the other things, and it needs to be adopted.
Yeah, it's very much a process, the whole, and it depending on the complexity for any big piece, you'll have a bunch of discussion even before the thing is built, and then while it's being built, there might even be more than one PR. There might be sort of PR one, this approach, and then but there's another approach that we could try. Let's do another PR and try it, and then people will test and compare the PRs. And we are a very opinionated community. I'll tell you that. People will jump on and review and critique and give opinions and go, this is not going to work for this case. And, you know, what about this plugin? That kind of break things for them. And then after all that discussion, something will kind of be agreed. It's sort of like slowly chipping away and finding a way forward when it's sort of, okay, can't do this because blah, can't do that. Well, maybe try that. Okay, that works. That works in testing, right? Let's try it. And the good thing about Gutenberg, about the plugin and this process of working experimentally, is that you can merge something into the plugin and, you know, try it out for a few cycles and then get feedback from the extremely vocal and passionate community that we have, which I'm super thankful for. It's great to be working on a project and have people just go, oh, that's amazing, or oh, sorry, that doesn't work for me, we really need to do that instead. And you always know where you are, right? You know, okay, I've done this thing, that worked, or well, maybe that didn't work so well, we'll need to iterate on it and, you know, do something else.
Yeah, but sometimes it can be a little tedious. I give you that, but I think the product gets better for it when everybody kind of starts the listening, opens the listening ears, and kind of see, okay, yeah, that's totally valid, and I see that use case, and let's see if we can include it into the design and into the feature. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and because no one person knows everything, right? You build a feature, you have your own view of how that feature is going to work. And then someone else has a completely different view. And it's by getting a lot of different views that we sort of manage to do things that lots of people can use in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that answers some of the question, but maybe not in that way. And those who ask those questions actually like it. You know, they just want somebody to blame or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. What motivates that kind of question? It's yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and sometimes things are kind of subjective for certain, and working on layout related features, I can tell you that everyone has their opinion on how it should work. And sometimes opinions are clashing, right? Because one person thinks it should work this way and another thinks it should work that way. And I mean, nobody's right, nobody's wrong, right? We just kind of have to try and figure out which approach is going to satisfy the majority of use cases. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to build a tool that will do every single thing. Right. So it's kind of, okay, what works best for the most mm-hmm. people?
Yeah. Alone the decision to have the toolbar on top or on the block. Yeah. Some, I think it's, I don't know if the community is 50-50 split, but some people like the toolbar directly on top of the canvas, and some people like it to be close to the block that they are just editing on. But it's, it could also be situational. Yeah. And these design decisions, it's hard. It's then kind of, okay, what's the design of the feature to change the setting? Yeah, gets you into the next conversation with other people about mm-hmm. a feature. And so it's it's an iterative process, and it gets better and better while listening and trying to get it in. So on 6.0, I think we're almost through. We already talked about the command center making the commands, act selectors and actions as well for the public API. So you can really, and then there is one bug fix that I like to point out is to fix the multi-entity, multi-property undo and redo. I think that is something that really we are waiting for quite a bit, that when you highlight something and you delete it and you do undo, you only get one back or two back, but not all of it, for instance. Yeah. And you cannot redo it because it didn't have a memory of what the other properties were. So
yeah.
And that has been fixed, and it really happened, and it happened to me. And I think it happened to anybody who experimented with multi-selection at one point.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is fixed, and I just wanted to point out, yay.
Yeah, that's a great fix.
Yeah, and
really
I think,
needed.
Say again, you want to
really
look
needed as
yeah,
in a
yeah.
necessary fix.
Yeah, and I think that was it from the 6.0 release. So that brings us to the active development or what's discussed section. And I had the idea to actually go to the roadmap of 6.3 and look at things that will make it into 6.3 and what's not done yet. But it's a really, there are a lot of links there. We definitely know that the new blocks, table of content and footnotes are probably not going to make it. There is also the introducing the UI to save patterns or all the things around patterns, I'm kind of a little bit doubtful that we see some of the additional creation flows for patterns in that. What already happened, what's on the roadmap and what already happened, but it's not part of WordPress 6.3, is the curation filter in the pattern directory. So some core contributors went through the public pattern category, pattern directory, and created a few patterns as well under the WordPress moniker or user account, and then added that. So when you go to the pattern directory, you now have not only the categories there, like header or buttons or text or images, you also have a dropdown to select between curated and community. And the curated kind of are the best of the best, kind of, yeah, what the some of the community contributors or WordPress contributors think that those should be kind of highlighted a little bit better or higher, or are created by WordPress core contributors. So that filter is available now on the pattern directory. It does not yet seem to be make it into the pattern inserter that you can do that, but that is definitely on the roadmap, but it's not yet done. So yeah, so from the, I think that the stabilization and usability of the toolbar, the list view, and the link control UI, custom list views and library management, those things are kind of almost done going into 6.3. But there is the box shadow component. I think that has already been merged from the design tools. No, that hasn't yet.
Yeah, I think so.
That hasn't yet.
It hasn't? Oh.
No, the box shadow that you can attach it to all the blocks, I think is the one. There are box shadows for certain, enabled for certain blocks.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
but
yeah, I'm not 100% sure of the status of that.
Yeah.
There's an...
And you get, you expose, the style book is exposed in the style preview, I think, and details view.
Yeah, there seems to still be an active tracking issue here.
So it takes a little longer. I think we make this for once we know when beta comes in, what is actually in the release of the features that made it. So in 2 weeks, when 16.1 stable comes out, that's past the beta 1 release, I think our changelog, the show, will kind of go through the roadmap and check off all the things that come and didn't make it into 6.3. And then we have a better conversation than doing it now in just kind of projecting or kind of estimating. Or, and I'm very bad in predicting. My crystal ball is really in the shop, so I know, I didn't know where to go with that, but yeah.
Predictions are always hard, and I think you kind of have to be in, depth, knowledgeable about the work that's being done. But for if you're just sort of looking from outside, I'm kind of trying to have a bird's eye view here of seeing what's going into the release, but it's impossible. I just have to go and ping people. What I've been doing these past few weeks, going, "Oh, hi, what do you think about this feature? Will it make it in? Are you happy to continue working on it? Is it mergeable within the next week or so?" That kind of thing. And so it's essentially, it's a whole process of just talking to everyone and trying to figure out what stage they are with the work, and what I can help with, that sort of thing.
And I think a good indicator is, and I will share the link to the project board for editor task on 6.3, so we all can kind of follow up on that and see how that is, because that's updated quite a bit between the editor triage team and the core leads tech teams. So core co-leads.
So I've been mainly, what I've been doing on the board is adding in PRs for backports to core. I see that there is a bunch of stuff in the in progress and needs review columns in this board. I'm not 100% sure of the status of some of these, that some of these PRs definitely, I think at this point, it's unlikely that they'll make it in. So the fact that it's on the board doesn't mean, and even if it's sort of marked in progress, it doesn't mean that it's actually going to make it, because it can just be a PR that's been sitting there for a while and it's on our wish list. We would love to do it, but if no one's actually actively working on it at this point, then it's unlikely to make it.
And I know that we're at the editor triage team. We're kind of going through that as well and kind of figure out what comes in as issues from the testing parts, of those. So to be sure, the features that are in the Gutenberg releases 15.2 to 6.1, if they are not experimental, well, labeled as experimental, will make it into 6.3. So going back to the previous releases of Gutenberg, you can pretty much predict, okay, this is going to be in there. What will be hard is to find out, well, you will be at 6.1, the release candidate will be next week, and that kind of closes the feature freeze pretty much for 6.3, unless there's something that is pushed through as a blessed task by several core committers and say, yeah, that can make it, and that will go in there. All right. Well, this was a long show today. Thank you so much for staying with me, Isabel, and providing so much great insights in the development and the design process, as well as the release process. Is there anything that you want people to know about 6.3 or Gutenberg project that you are excited about?
I think, I mean, we've pretty much covered most of the things about the general processes. I'm pretty excited about the changes to the site editor and new improvements with browse mode. I hope everyone else is equally excited. I think this is going to be a pretty good release. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun chatting about this.
So if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you? What it would be a good place.
Oh, I am on GitHub as Tell the Machines. I am on WordPress Slack as Tell the Machines also. So, I mean, ping me on Slack. I'm usually online during the week, Australia time.
All right. Well, this was thank you so much for being on the show. And as I want to point out, we have a Gutenberg Times live Q&A coming up on July 6 at 1700 UTC. And that's about using Gutenberg scripts and components into to revamp a plugin. And it's a case study, and we're talking with the lead developer and the tech lead from GiveWP that have worked on their 3.0 revamp, and they have used most of the Gutenberg components and or based it on Gutenberg WordPress components and scripts, and it opened quite new perspectives for them. So I'm really excited to have Jason Adams, the director of development, and John Waldstein, the lead developer of GiveWP, on the show on July 6, 1700 UTC. I will share the link in the show notes. Reserve your spot. And it's a usual live Q&A where we have some demos and then we talk a little bit about the project and then we answer all the attendance questions. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 84. And if you have questions and suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Thank you all for listening. I'm looking forward to talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thank you, Isabel Bryson. And I am so happy to have another show for you. That's it.
Yay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Take care. Bye.